Hello, and welcome to Connecting You to You Radio, where we tune in to receive the messages of health and well-being that are being broadcast from the soul. I'm your host, Lisa Warner, author of The Simplicity of Self-Healing. I show you how to heal your body naturally by combining your body's innate intelligence with the wisdom of your own soul, so that you can break through the mental programming of limiting beliefs that cause disease and make healing your body and changing your life simple. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another Conversations in Consciousness. I am Lisa Warner, and I'm here with my co-host,
Keith Leon S. And we are here with the incomparable, beautiful, sweet, kind, talented Donna Lisa Valencia.
Thank you.
Welcome, Donna Lisa. So nice to meet you.
Thank you, Lisa. When Keith asked me if I would be interested in meeting with you both, as I have noted to Keith in the past, anything you want. And if, in fact, you are tied into Keith, I already know you're one of God's little angels on this planet. So there we go.
There you go. Today we are talking about the truth of your beautiful spirit. So all about that very thing.
Yes, that is unquestionably the phrase or the mantra, the sentence that I connect with every single day, whether I am thinking about myself or connecting with others. And always I am aware that when we connect to the truth of our beautiful spirits, no matter what we're going through, we can get through it. Just got to hold on to the hope and the knowing. But we are here in this physical form because we are these beautiful, divinely inspired, divinely created spirits that get to be here again.
When did you figure that out? Like, how old were you when you got clear on that?
Well, that question, as far as has two answers. The statement of the truth of your beautiful spirit happened probably, I would say, in January of 2013, January 1st, actually, when I recognized that I had been trying for years to figure out what is the message that I have been put on this planet to deliver. People would say, well, why don't you just go speak about being an executive and a creative director and all that? I thought, that is not my message. That is just a part of my journey. It's tools that I'm fine-tuning. But it was that January 1st that I recognized we all have the ability to choose to go out into the world consciously and to make our choices based on conscious connection with the divine, with one another. And at that moment, I recognized that we have this beautiful spirit inside of us. And if we stay in tune with the truth of our beautiful spirit, with what our essence is, no matter what's gone on in life, the highs and the lows, whatever it is, when we can reconnect with that beautiful truth, we can get grounded and we can keep going and we can thrive on the hope and the dreams and the possibilities. And the vision that gave me that goes to the second answer, which is, I was 2 years old. And at two, I'm riding around in the back seat of the car with my mom and dad in the front, laughing hysterically as we're going around this, I don't know what they're called, but the circles where the streets spill out. You have, six or eight different options, right?
Roundabout.
And What is it called?
A roundabout.
A roundabout, that's it, which is perfect. You know, the circle of energy, right? And my baby sister, we're Irish twins. She is sitting next to me on the back seat. Back then, I don't even think we had a baby seat, but I'm just going to say we did. But I'm sure even if we did, we're floating around, because I do remember floating around as a little kid in the 60s. Just how much higher can that bump in the road go so we can jump and hit the ceiling?
Yes.
And as I'm literally leaning into the circle as my parents are driving around and around laughing hysterically because they can't figure out which road to take, I had this awareness that I'm looking out from my body, from this physical being. I'm perceiving the world. And I didn't put the word spirit on it, but I knew I was in this physical body, kind of like a spaceship. And then at 4, I had an experience where I was selling lemonade, and police came by. You know, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get arrested because I'm selling lemonade. It's amazing what thoughts go into our mind.
sinister events.
That's right. Oh my gosh, maybe I'm not supposed to sell lemonade on the street. I'm sorry. I believe they gave me the most money. They gave me $1, and I think I was selling it for a nickel. So everybody's coming by, and at one point, there was a young boy who I was pretty sure was a fifth grader, because we lived right down the street from an elementary school, and he was a big boy compared to me. And I noticed that he was carrying this very large stack of books. And he's just, and I'm kind of, you know, kids, we don't say hi, we just kind of do the head nod type of thing, right? And as he walked by, I had this awareness, oh, I've learned everything he already learned. And I'm back, and I'm supposed to learn all of that and more. And I used that feeling, that was my grounding, if you will, that's the word we use today. That was my safe place. That was my awareness that no matter what I did in life, this little spirit inside of this continually changing physical body, the spirit didn't change, just the physical body changed. Even to this day, I will look in the mirror every single day and I'll be surprised, because I don't remember specifically what I look like, because I'm not really looking at my physical being. I mean, you know, my hair, I don't even comb it. I just kind of use my fingers and mush it up and things like that, right? But I look and I see my spirit through my eyes. I see my energy, and I laugh a lot because I recognize I'm just this little geeky, bubbly light that's floating around in this physical form that morphs and changes, and I'm owning every single gray hair that I have and every single wrinkle, and I look at the little spots. Oh, look at that little spot. But the person inside is still that same beautiful little spirit, no matter what. And I've just celebrated November 30th. I just celebrated flying around the sun 62 times. So I'm in my 63rd journey. Wow. In this form. That's a long answer to a short question.
I love it.
Beautiful answer. Sound familiar, Lisa?
Yes, indeed. I had a similar, at 2 years old, when I would go to bed at night, I would just be part of this field of unconditional love and light. It was absolutely spectacular. And I knew that that's what is real. I knew that that was forever and always. And then I could turn around and look at the earth, and it was like, whoa, those people are not doing that here. And like, I didn't understand, like, I could see all the wars and things that were happening because everybody had forgotten this space of unconditional love from whence we come. And it was really, really confusing to me, because I knew that those who had come before me, that remembered this space, you know, they kind of like didn't meet with very good endings. And I knew that, you know, it was probably not really very safe for me to know what I know. And, you know, to just be that, you know, at 2 years old, and you look around and nobody has any idea. And like, how do you convey that at 2 years old to people around you? And I just thought, wow. And I looked at the school system and I was like, that's where you get programmed. I don't want to go to school. Like, I knew that, but I had a mother who was a teacher. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I just kind of made a choice at that age to just give up my knowing, because I felt so defeated that, you know, I didn't feel like I was allowed to just be that. So that set up kind of a rough existence for a while. I had a great life, but, you know, it, internally I had a lot of struggle with this.
That concept, that awareness of giving up what you felt because you realized nobody else understood. I just recalled something from childhood that the same type of a thing. Number one was that I saw things that were going to happen and they were a little scary. Sometimes they were fun, but definitely the scariest one was when I was 15 and I knew that my best friend was going to die in a fire. And the last time I saw her physically fire around her as she waved goodbye to me at the airport. And every night for almost 4 months, I had the dream she was going to die in fire. And the night that she died in fire, the dream went away. So to say the least, I didn't want to remember. I wanted to push away those feelings until, or those knowings, I should say, until I got older and I kept diving into who I am, the reality of why I am. And always, I've always felt like I am a spiritual being looking out and observing the world through my physical body. And admittedly, when the shift came that I was willing to accept and understand this knowing and started to learn we all have the ability was when I walked into a club in Hollywood one night, and it was a big opening, and they gave us tickets and they're doing a drawing. And I said to my friend, hold on to my ticket because I won. I got to go to the bathroom. She goes, oh, yeah, right. I said, no, you don't understand. I know these things. So I run to the bathroom. I come back out and they're looking for the winner. I said, did you look at my ticket? She goes, I go, I told you, I won. I did this 3 nights in a row and I knew every single time I was going to win. And it was the awareness. It was part of one of my 3 7-year journeys in life of discovery of who I am, that, and I continue to discover. It's not like I've discovered and it's done, right? But I have gone through 3 very intense 7-year evolutions, and that one had to do with, all of them have to do with connecting to the truth of our beautiful spirit and knowing that we all have the capability to connect with this spirit, to dive back into this, what I talk about in my podcast, which is we get to connect with high vibe consciousness. We get to connect with this high vibe energy, whether you call it the light of God, whether you call it source, universe, the blend of the masculine and feminine divine, the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda, you know, whatever it is, Buddhist wisdom, which all of these I love. I've read and immersed into so many of them because I've been trying to figure out what feels right. And that ultimately became my guiding light, which is what feels right every day. And if it feels wrong, if it feels off, then it's not connecting with the truth of my beautiful spirit.
Blows my mind. when I was two, I was probably still pooping my diapers, but you guys were having all this. I mean, all of that came from me, but my memory of it came later. You know, I remember being, I don't know, anywhere from 10 to 12. That's when I started, you know, forced to go to church. And then I started to say, don't you think he meant this instead of what you're saying? And like, I just had this, like I was born remembering a lot of things that I shouldn't know. And knowing that I knew them, not feeling like it was interpretation. Like when people were reading out of the Bible, I was like, no, actually this is what happened. Cause I felt like I literally was there so I could tell them. And I remember getting kicked out of a Catholic church when my friend invited me and his parents were, oh, bring your little friend with you. And then after I went up to what do they call them? Priest. Yeah. And I said, if God is the Father, why would I call you Father? I'm confused. And he was just like, shut it. And then I was like, so some of the things you were saying, you know, when he said that, don't you think he meant that? And I basically just confronted this guy so much that he was just like, he's not welcome back here. And even that, I thought, like, wow, they're like worshiping the guy who's unconditional love. And then you're telling me I can't come back because I have a different interpretation or I'm, you know, questioning you. Lord forbid I should question you, Almighty One. So I kind of got soured to religion from that, you know. And then I went on a search when I was probably 17, 18 for, you know, is God in any church? And I went to every synagogue, mosque, you know. Someone was on a soapbox in the park. I was listening because I was like, where is God? Where is God? Other than in me and isn't as through everybody, as energy, as the tree, as the clouds. But as far as in one of those buildings, like I hadn't felt it. So I went to all of them and I never really felt it till I went to Agape, Reverend Michael Beckwith's Spiritual Center in Culver City. And by the end of the opening song, I was literally standing in a puddle of tears. And you remember that time, like I only found Agape because three different people, I was in TV production, and that's how Donna Lisa and I met. She was one of the producers that would come in and work at our facility. And I got to really see what unconditional love is in person. Through Donna Lisa, and so she is everything she's talking about now, and certainly the title of this talk. But like three different people were like, I went to this church and I heard the music and it reminded me of you. And by the third person, I was just like, and it was this guy Sean. Remember Sean? He worked there for about a minute. The last guy you would even think would even be at a church, let alone think that I should go to it. And he was the third person, and I was like, let me guess, Agape? And he said, yeah. And I was like, ah, dang it. He goes, what? I go, I never say no to God three times. It's just like a rule I have. And so I went, and they had me by the end of the opening song standing in tears. And I was just like, that was the first place other than the forest in the woods and inside of me that I ever felt this thing that people were calling God, spirit, you know, universe. So I kind of kept going back. And I remember my mother, she was raised Mormon, and that's the church she forced me to go to till I was old enough to run over there screaming. And I invited her to Agape thinking she was going to be like, I'm glad it works for you, but, you know, you're a weirdo, basically. And she went there and she was like, spirit is up in there, she said. It's palatable. I could feel it so strong, certainly more strong than the church we came up in. You know, she's like I that helped me with my connection to it, but I can't say I ever felt it like this. And I was just like, wow. So it didn't make her go back a bunch of times, but she didn't have any issue with me going there, right? Because she said, okay, God is there. And I was like, yeah, God is everywhere. And it's but it's
I love that was your mom that that took that time to go with you, because so often those that are of the older generations, the silent generation, they have been taught to be very rigid in their understanding and not to question.
Yeah.
And I actually have my mom with me now, which I love. She's 82 years young. And my entire family, I laughed out loud when you spoke of the Catholic Church, because I was absolutely brought up with the seven sacraments. I even got to the place where when I was in college, I chose to teach seventh and eighth graders the religious classes, because I thought, I don't want to teach them that God is a fearing God. Mm-hmm. I want to teach them that a God is an all-loving God. And at the time I was in California. And so the first day of class, I literally said to them, when you're out there on a surfboard, I want you to know God is out there going, hang 10. And they're thinking, I'm crazy. But what ended up happening was I definitely became the favorite teacher in seventh and eighth grade, because I went off the books, but at the same time, I taught what I needed to teach. But not many teachers will go into a seventh and eighth grade class in the Catholic religion and say, as we know, we're preparing them for confirmation, which is what we call the moment that you honor becoming a soldier of Christ in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I want you to know two things. Number one, I'm going to teach you what the Beatitudes are, the seven sacraments, all of the aspects that you need to know about the Catholic Church. But I don't want you to memorize them. I want you to feel them. I want you to understand them. That's it. And at the end of eighth grade, if you choose to not be confirmed, if you choose to not want to be what we call a soldier of Christ in the Catholic Church, that's okay. And you see all their jaws drop. And I said, the only thing I'm asking is that we're going to sit down with your parents and you're going to let us know why. Because I'll be honest with you, I love what I'm doing. And I love this connection that I feel being here. And I don't want you to be here. If you don't love it, if you don't feel it, then it's not right for you. I want you to find what's right for you. Well, to say the least, when you get confirmed, you have you pick a sponsor. I think I was a sponsor for six of the kids. Because I gave them a whole different way of looking at faith and church. And so I'm thinking about my mom, what you are sharing, Keith, and that she, in having come to me a dozen years ago and asking me to help guide her based on her own sadness and depression and having gotten to a point of obesity, things like that, I have been her coach and her guide and her mentor. And it's just so delightful what she has had the courage to do and walk with me as she's lost over, you know, what, 155, 160 pounds, and she's no longer taking 16 of her 17 medications and no longer depressed or anxious. And why? Because she was able to take her Catholic upbringing, which is always our grounding. I will never deny that I'm a Catholic. I love it. I love that I'm a part of the church from the place of connection to history, connection to understanding its purpose. But we have both, as my whole family, have been able to step out and look at it for its, as you say, Keith, its imperfection. Mm-hmm. And to recognize that faith is so deeply tied to, again, the truth of our beautiful spirits. And that is what my mom has chosen to do. Even now, you know, she came to me at what, 70? Most people are not willing to shift at 70. And especially in our society here in the United States, where we're told the older you get, the more you go downhill. No, I said, by the time I'm 104, okay, I'll take a break for a day. I'll sit in a chair and rock, and then I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep going, right? I don't believe you get older and you get more decrepit and you get worse. The only reason you do is you choose to. Not that I say we don't have ailments and all, right? But yeah. What is our light? What is our joy? It is again, the truth of the beautiful spirit. That's what's helped my mom to blend the Catholic doctrine. She grew up in the Catholic schooling. My father at one point wanted to be a priest. I mean, we're talking hardcore, right?
All the way.
All the way. I wanted to be a nun. Let's be real. I was thinking, Sally Fields can fly. I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to learn to play guitar. That was it. I have to say, when I graduated UCLA, that was the first of my seven career choices that I got off the list.
The flying nun.
Can you see me? But that's how deeply connected, how deeply I love the energy that I can't help but to refer to God, because I don't want to say I can't help it. That's what I choose to call the energy. I love calling this divine energy God, because it creates a relationship for me. I speak aloud to God. I am continually thanking God for me, thanking God for the truth of this little beautiful geeky self that is always inside this physical body, running around, for the evolution of what I see, and knowing that I got to come back. And I used to say, I'm going to do the best I can this lifetime so I don't have to come back. But I've actually changed that. I'm looking forward to coming back. Who knows what's going to happen? Lots of evolution.
It's funny, that word God, I've helped a lot of people reframe that. You know, there was on all of my CDs, there's always God songs. And the first CD I did with my music partner, Eric, the woman who did the cover was, she said she was listening to the music while she was doing the cover because she wanted that inspiration. She came up with the most incredible cover. And then by the time I got there, she's like, you have changed my life. And I was like, what? She goes, I always had such a negative connotation with that word because it was so rigid and it was so only one way and the right way and everything else is wrong. And but the God that you sing about is not that. It's universal. It's all love. It's encompassing everything and everyone and all that. And she's like, so if that's, you know, if that's what God is, I'm on board. So or at least I won't be triggered anymore when people say the word. And I was like, awesome. And she's like, that was my gift. And then she wouldn't let us pay her for doing the cover, and she went ahead and did like three in case we decided to do her second or third album. It wouldn't charge us because she felt like the transformation was so huge from listening to the music that it was her gift, you know, to give us that, because she had received a gift.
So beautiful.
Yeah. And sorry to dominate here, Lisa, the conversation, but speaking of gift, I have to share that, you know, I was in TV production, and certainly Donna, Lisa and I were in that together. And I had, if anybody who's read my book, Walking with My Angels, will know that I had a year that I call the year everyone died. And it was like all the people that were the closest to me were gone in a short amount of time. And so Donna Lisa watched like the happiest, most positive, smilingest guy she knew be less than talkative, doing whatever I could to get by, being sad, being depressed. I was just in a dark place, and I used every tool that I had, and I wasn't able to get out of it. And so it came time for Christmas, and Donna Lisa gave me the first Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And when I opened it up, it was inscribed to the smilingest guy I know. I hope that this book helps bring that smile back to your face. I love you, Donald DLV. And I was so touched. And I started reading that book every day. I would go to lunch when we had a lunch break, and I would read stories in that book and cry into my food. I was either going to the Chinese place or this grocery store that used to make really great sandwiches. It was between those. Every day I went to those two places, read this book, and cried. And each day I came back a little more. And each day I came back a little more. And And the book not only brought me back, but I don't know if I've told you this part, Donalisa. But I turned over the book and I saw the two authors. And it was Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield. And I looked at Mark Victor Hansen and I go, that guy looks like a sales guy. And I looked at Jack Canfield and I said, this guy is all heart. And I don't even know him, but I love him and I want to know both of them. And so when I found Agape, which I think was after that, and started going to Agape, eventually I started singing. I was singing on stage. I was one of the soloists. I was in a choir. And Mark Victor Hansen started coming to Agape like regularly. And so he was seeing me sing all the time. And I like to say to this day that, Mark Victor Hansen is my third biggest fan. And it was my mom, and it was Mara. And then there was Mark Victor Hansen, because no matter what, when he saw me, he would stop. He'd have a crowd around him, and he'd be like, have you heard this guy sing? Wherever we're at, whatever event, if it was a speaking event, whatever, have you heard him sing? And ultimately, I thought, now that I know Mark Victor Hansen, that'll help me meet Jack Canfield. It did not help me in any way. I had to make that happen myself. But when I did finally make it happen, and found myself at one of Jack's events. Now I had met him one other time where I smartly went to his gatekeeper, got myself booked at an event that he was going to speak at, and where they had music before the speaker, got myself booked as the musician, reached out to his gatekeeper and said, I'm opening for Jack, and here are some of my songs. I'd love to talk to him about what he thinks I should sing for him. And so we, by the time I got on the phone with him, he's just like, oh my God, this music is so good. Can I use it at my events? And I'm like, absolutely. And he's like, oh, the place that you're coming from, like, I can't wait to meet you at the event. So we had a couple of phone conversations, and finally I sang for him at the event. And I had already booked an event that he teaches, which is his main big seminar. So it was like, by the time I got to the thing where I finally thought I was going to meet him, we were friends already, which was cool. Then I asked him to be, who do you think you are? And then he became my personal mentor and dear friend. And the rest, they say, is history. But he is my one of my dearest friends, whom I love with all of my heart. And it all started from Chicken Soup for the Soul book for Christmas.
Well, what I saw in you during that time, Keith, was I saw me. I saw a person who shines his light and his love. And no matter how dark your world is, you don't project that darkness on others. You do your very best to simply share even the littlest bit of light and love. And I saw your pain, and I happened to have been reading this series of books. I had just come upon it and thought, what a beautiful way to reconnect with ourselves, to reconnect with the knowing that we're okay in our darkest of times. And I thought, if that book can help me, then I'm going to give this book to this beautiful soul named Keith. And I just, it was like a magical heart of love. I just felt it as I put it together and gave it to you. I just knew the energy would shift. It would help to shift. All you needed to do was to dive into it. And that comes to a lot of what I teach, which is choice. We constantly have the opportunity to choose what feels right or what doesn't feel right. And oftentimes we get off track because we let the logical mind tell us, oh, you should do this. Or we let people who should on us say, oh, you should do this, versus connecting with what feels right, despite the naysayers, and we just do it. And so I figured as long as Keith opens this book and reads it, it will be just like planting a seed and the seed flowers and one never knows what will come out of it. And I just hoped and prayed that it would be joy in the same way that I had been walking through some really difficult times and I was able to find aspects of joy from their book. And I love that you are friends with them. That just is the best thing ever, because I think they are beautiful souls that they put these books together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible how one gesture can have such a ripple effect. You know, like Lisa said yes to doing a book series that I did based on that, called Navigating the Clickety Clack.
How to live a peace-filled life in a seemingly toxic world.
Yeah, and we met through that, right? And had a little bit of time together, and then I started doing that living workshop that I shared with you one time, called Dreamweaving. And when it was like, ooh, who do I want to spend time with and get to know better, right, that I don't get to spend enough time with, I reached out to her and told her about Dreamweaving, and she said yes. And that was coming up on 3 years ago. And we just, the more that we got to know each other, the more we were connected. And then we started doing things together, right? And started creating together. And then the Inside Effects movie, she's the one that helped me to get rid of all that pain I had from that TV falling on me and the accidents and all the stuff all that pain that I was in, like, since Don knows me since then, right? It just got worse. It was like level 9, 10 for 26 years. And then something that Lisa said, just, you know, I met with her twice and it was, she just changed the way that I thought about everything and helped me realize that I was recreating the story every time I told it, and that pain actually equals healing. So anytime I stopped the pain, it would stop the healing process. And so as long as I did that, it was going to continue. And certainly if I kept recreating the story every day by telling it to people, or trying to fight it, right? It's just reframed my whole mind and taught me how to have it go away. And it did. And so the Inside Effects, How the Body Heals Itself movie is, you know, I wanted to tell the world about her and a friend of ours named Karen, who I had met with twice before I met with Lisa. And yeah, and so it was like, how can I tell the world about her? And that's how the idea for the film came. So it's like,
that's powerful. That is powerful. What was it that you, Lisa, got you to that place of knowing?
Well, because of all the things that I knew it to and then gave up my knowing and, you know, then struggled through life because I wasn't being authentic to my knowing, got me into a place of just like a deep, dark hole of despair. And I found myself facing cancer and I did not have any interest whatsoever in remission. I wanted it gone. Like, I wanted it gone from my entire reality, never to return again. And I didn't have any interest in, you know, chemo or radiation or having body parts harvested or cut out. So I decided that this was my time to step into my mastery and learn how to become master of my own body. And so when I decided to become master of my own molecules, I started to sit in the question of, what do I need to know about this in order for it to change? And when the answer came in, it was like, hey, Lisa, your body's not being attacked by some killer disease. Your body's doing exactly what it's designed to do, given the input that you are providing. If you want to heal, you need to change the input that you're providing. I was providing, I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me, I'm not okay, you know, all of those. So I addressed the actual problem, which was all of the negative energy that I was housing in my physical structure. So during that time, I realized that everything that we've been told about pain and disease and, you know, our body is not true. It's not actually true. So once I flipped it all around and realized, oh, if I just embrace this and learn to trust my body, then my body's going to do the thing and heal itself, because that's the divine design. So when Keith started to tell me about, you know, his pain, I realized I had already learned about the five biological laws and, you know, of German New Medicine, which were discovered back in 1980, but hardly anybody knows about it because not allowed to talk about these things. So I realized that the pain is actually the body's healing process, because the healing process is a process of reconstruction. And anytime we do reconstruction of anything, there's dirt and there's noise and there's banging and hammering. And that's what's going on in our bodies. And our bodies are just reconstructing themselves. So if we learn to embrace the pain, then the body can move through the pain. But as soon as
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking, what a beautiful analogy you just gave. That's gorgeous.
I'm glad you like it. I mean,
and it works.
Like, one thing is everything, right? It's like that fractal universe. So our bodies have these brilliant construction crews that live right inside. And the body is constantly responding to the input. So what goes in has to come out. If we are housing all of these negative trauma, you know, the traumas and dramas of life, if we're holding them in, the body is going to go, hello, are you going to release this or not? Like, here's your opportunity. And it's never the body's fault. The body is never the problem. It's always the input that's going in. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once he said that, I was like, all right, let's just change the input. And then the output fixes itself.
Oh, my gosh. I am so delighted that you just shared that, Lisa. And the irony is, I didn't realize when we set up this time to record, today is the 5th year anniversary of my father's stepping out of physical form into spirit. And I remember at that time, yes, I had tears because I didn't get to physically hug him anymore. But I had evolved to a place of knowing that I would feel his spirit always, and he would forever be with me, and we would continue to connect in different forms. So today I say it is a celebration. It is a celebration that he is in this beautiful form. But I'm thinking about how he got to that place, and that was because he was diagnosed 5 years earlier with metastasized lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And he was literally, and this goes where the thoughts are, Lisa, and this is where, again, we bring it back to the truth of our beautiful spirit. My father was absolutely, and is to this day, one of my greatest inspirations. He, not a perfect man, but definitely a man who reminded me always that we are special. We have been given the gift of this life. And he made me laugh, and he was brilliant, and all of those things that I treasure about him in human form. But at that moment, when he found out he had metastasized lung cancer, his thought shifted, because the way he found out was the doctor called him on the phone and said, I need you to know you have 3 to 6 months to live at most, so get your affairs in order and say goodbye to your family. I thought, what? And my father then called all of us. We're a very close family. And we had a conference call with us from around the United States. And he told us this. And the first thought I had, excuse the expression, but the first thought I had was, cancer picked the wrong freaking chick to mess with. And I got on a plane from Tennessee and I flew back to California. My brother, one of my brothers at the time, there are five of us, and two of us at the time had moved away from the LA, Southern California area. He flew from Virginia Beach, both of us very immersed in holistic healing, understanding the human body from 2,000 years of teachings, right? And doing all we could to dive into that appreciating Western medication, but understanding there is a balance. And so we worked with my dad. 8 months later, the oncologist looks at him and says, I have never in the history of being an oncologist seen metastasized lung cancer disappear. And I have a picture of my dad and me standing on the beach. My aunt, his sister, took it of us, looking out at the ocean. And we had just found out. And he says to me, Don, right now we get to celebrate this moment. But I don't know what's going to happen as time goes on. He still had that fear. Yeah. And unfortunately, what happened was this oncologist literally retired within a few weeks of this happening. And one of the reasons he was able to embrace it with us is because he had been on the path of holistic healing with us, this oncologist, because his wife is very tied into Eastern philosophy. They were getting ready to go to the Orient to do more learning and wisdom accruing, right? So he retires. Next oncologist tells my dad, well, it may be gone, but it's going to come back. And if you don't take these medications, you will die. And my dad spent the next approximately 4 years taking medication that, you know, those little commercials and you see la, 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 and then they have all the sayings underneath and your entire body is going to implode.
Yeah.
Every single ailment that the medication he was taking, he got. And the number one reason I had peace when he passed was because he was able to at last connect with the truth of his beautiful spirit. He was able to release the fear. He had peace, and I knew it. And he was able to move onward into spirit form and no longer be attached to the physical form that his thoughts had told him, you are not only going to suffer, you're going to suffer a lot. That's the part that when I am coaching and guiding people to find balance between the emotional, the mental, the physical, and the spiritual, it is all tied into something that Wayne Dyer shares, which is we need to be very mired in the love of ourselves as we set the intentions. We need to be seeing and believing in the peace, the healing. We have to have an intention that is deeply mired in love, because when we can connect with love of ourselves, love of others, love of this high vibe connection, as you said, Lisa, when you recognize that it's just our thoughts of fear that can tear us down, there is something so exciting in knowing we get the choice. And it's not easy. I will not say it's easy. My mom, what she's done over the last 12 years, what my clients have done, what the people who have come to me have done, it's not easy. But what makes it worth it and what gives you those easy moments is that intention, that determination, that courage, that resilience, that I want to feel that happiness. I want to look in that mirror and say, I love how happy looks on you, because you're connecting again with the truth of your beautiful spirit. And there is nothing more joyful than that. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. We are created in that image and likeness of God, source, creator itself, in that frequency of love. And yes, as long as we are in harmony with the frequency of our soul, we thrive. As soon as we fall out of that frequency into fear and doubt and guilt and all of that, then dis-ease has to happen. So the answer to everything, that's why when Keith says the answer to every question is always love, that's why, because it brings us back into the harmony with the truth of who we are.
Yes, and it is releasing the shame and guilt that we put upon ourselves for not being able to always stay in that place, when we recognize that is part of our human experience, is we are supposed to ride the roller coaster of emotions. We are supposed to feel the lowest of lows. We are supposed to feel out of harmony. So we understand how joyful it feels when we are in harmony. And what breaks my heart, and I truly believe everything happens for us, not a lot of people go, how can you say that happened for me? I lost my leg or whatever it is, right? It's not that it happens for us because we just got to pull up our britches and just own what we're doing. No, it's for us to learn from the experience, from how we approach that experience rather than resisting the experience. Mm-hmm. And what makes my heart sad, and yet I am aware that it was a part of my journey of learning, is when I think about my father, who to me was one of the most courageous, resilient, determined physical beings on this planet. He was a hardcore August 7th Leo that owned the lion energy, right? To see him crumble, to see him allow himself to be a victim of what he was told would happen, to see him immerse into the fear because he was so broken by the pain. That is the part that I am very aware that we as spirits, you Keith, you Lisa, as we and all of those that are interacting with others on this planet, it is our love that helps people like my father get through the moments to the best of their ability without expectation or shaming or judging them because they can't quite get there, because it's just a part of their learning. It's a part of their journey. And so we just love them with as much compassion and send blessings and allow ourselves to embrace where they are and know that we are a safe haven for them if they so choose to connect with that energy, that space of peace.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's something I can do, right? I don't lay my hands on people and have them heal immediately, right? Sometimes I feel some things putting my hands on, but not purposely, it just happened. But yeah, my aunt had the same thing, only the doctor said 2 weeks. Like, the audacity to tell somebody you have 2 weeks to live. But she was always in that frequency that we're talking about. And she had so much faith that she was like, yeah, no. So, you know, God has a bigger plan for me than that. There's so much more to do. I'll come back in a couple of weeks and we'll take the tests again. We'll see where we're at. And then they did that. And she came back 2 weeks later, did all the tests, and it was completely gone. Nothing they could find from, you know, your whole body is riddled with this to what's happening. And so that happened when I was a child, you know, I was probably 7 or something. And she's still here to this day on the planet in her 80s, still kicking, she says. And they tried to give her something twice. She did it again the second time too, and they tried to give her something, but she was just like, oh, so where am I out of alignment? Where, you know, with So she just went to prayer, she did whatever she did, right? Worked.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I share that at the beginning of The Inside Effects, my movie, because you think that would have, like, stayed with me, right? Like, when I was going through all the pain that I was going through and all that, it didn't, that made it so that I never feared or had cancer, because that's what she got diagnosed with. But I wasn't thinking I can take that teaching and apply it to this. Or I tried everything I knew till I met Lisa. Like, I had given up hope. I was just like, I've already tried everything, Lisa. Paid all the money, did the things, got the shots, every healer, every acupuncture, chiropractor, Reiki, you know, done it all. And then she's like, still do a phone call with me? Met with her twice, gone. So it's amazing how quickly things can happen when you go back to that vibration, right?
Yes.
It's a real testament to the power of our consciousness. Mm-hmm. We can use it for ourselves or we can use it against ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's always such a shame when we allow others to convince us to use our consciousness against ourselves. You know, like in the, hey, you're going to die in X number of days. And that happens because the power of our consciousness makes it so.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, just as a little accent to my dad's story, he actually was saying, I will die by the time I'm 82. And so he died in his 82nd journey around the sun. Mm-hmm. And it truly is a prime example, as you're saying, Lisa, in the power of the conscious mind, the conscious thinking. And that first awareness that I had in January 1st of 2014 of putting that word conscious thinking. I remember I said to someone, this is what I want to teach. I want to teach conscious thinking. Well, back in 2014, if I had gone out there and said, hey, I'm teaching conscious thinking, they would have all had the same look as my family did. Huh?
Get the net.
That's right. Kind of like when I told my family, actually, it's a funny story with my mom. I decided at the time I was dating a shaman. I was with her for close to 5 years. It was just a beautiful spiritual next step evolution of my life's journey. And everything, again, knew it happens for a reason. I could never have been with her before that moment. And when it was done, it was done. It was for the purpose of both of our evolutions and transformation. So part of being with her, she'd been brought up by two yogis. She's a yogi. She's always eaten plant-based. So basically she said, if you're going to be with me, that's great, but you got to eat plant-based. I'm like, okay, done. So here I am. I'm a Filipino. We grew up with like pig on the table, you know, Christmas time, big old apple in the mouth. I'm just emphasizing, we ate a lot of pork, a lot of meat. You know, that's just what Filipinos do. We eat pork, we eat chicken, we eat a lot of fruit, a lot of sweets.
Yeah.
So it's, and our connection, actually, the official first date or first day of our union, myself with this shaman, was 10, 11, 12. Okay. And literally she saw a meteor going one direction and I saw a shooting star going another. So when I talk about stars aligning and divine energy, I mean, I've seen a lot of this stuff, right? So I am now starting from 10, 11, 12, I'm not eating meat anymore. And it was kind of a running joke in the little office I was working in, because when you shift that in your body, you'll be in the middle of a meeting and you'll go, I'll be right back. And you go excuse yourself and you allow your intestines to do what they do. And then you come back. So that was October. By November 30th, my birthday, my boss, and it's in a little office in a house. And we were doing, marketing and care for seniors. And again, how paths happen. I would have never thought I would have been working with seniors. I did it for 6 months, stepping out of the entertainment industry, working with seniors, and who do I end up helping? My parents, right? So all of a sudden my boss yells out that day on my birthday, hey, DL, you just got a box of meat for your birthday. I go, no, I didn't. She goes, oh, yes, you did. So I go and look. And it's one of those boxes, those places that send out like lobster and steak and everything, right? Like a $300 box, right? And they're all laughing. And I'm opening it and I'm realizing the only thing that I can use in that box is the cutting board, the knife, and the dessert apples. That's it, right? So I've got $300 of lobster and fish and everything. And my mom calls me and she says, happy birthday. I'm like, hey, mom, thanks. She goes, so did you get my present? I go, oh, yeah. I go, it's really good, mom. She goes, I said, but I have a little something I forgot to tell you, because I couldn't tell my family that I don't eat meat, right? I said, I stopped eating meat. And you hear the silence on the other end of the phone. And from the perspective of a meat-eating family, her question was, what do you eat? I don't remember
what the animal would eat.
Exactly. What? And the thought. And so I'd go to the family get-togethers and they would give me like lettuce. So again, perspective. I don't know how we, I can't even remember why I brought us to that story. But,
too funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So the truth of my beautiful little spirit is, I guess it's healing and all of the things that we choose to do. Oh, the conscious living, right? And I consciously chose, I'm going to do this because I was very aware in being plant-based. Not only was it because she had asked me, my partner, to no longer eat the meat, but also because I learned that was a part of my next evolution of connecting with the healing aspect of the human body and understanding how powerful alkaline cells are, how powerful the greens are, how important it is not to put all of those products into your body. And that's an entirely other podcast.
That's right.
That just goes on for days and days, right?
Yeah. I like to say diatribe.
Exactly. If we started talking about that, we would just not get off this podcast.
That's right. That's
we'll have to have you back and we'll have another conversation.
Exactly. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This has been such a beautiful conversation. So lovely meeting you.
Thank you, Lisa. You as well, Keith. I just adore you. And I, when he sent me the message, I will acknowledge doing my own podcast now. And I've had Keith on as a guest, and I would love to at some point bring you both in. And when he invited me, this is the first podcast that I have been invited to be a part of. And I can just feel that domino effect, that trickle effect. And what I love about it is that we connect with those who are in that vibe with us, who are connected to that high vibe energy. And the more that we can stay connected and share the messages of things such as connecting to the truth of your beautiful spirit, imagine a world that our children are brought up to believe this instead of being told when we are younger that God is a vengeful God, that if you don't do, I can't say vengeful, but that God will put you in a place called hell and you will burn for who knows how long, or even a purgatory. Imagine us teaching our children that God is an all-loving God and that we are beautiful spirits and that we're going to make mistakes no matter what. And that is part of our evolution. And we release the shame and the guilt and the judgment. And we teach our children to love themselves for whom they are and to know that they are an integral part of this cycle of life and that we are all here for a reason. And that's it. We're just here to enjoy life and to love ourselves and love one another and play. And we all reconnect with that energy that, like my children had, I will never forget that energy. I live on that energy. I hold it in with me. In those very, very difficult times when life is tough, I remember them looking at flowers and looking at the world and having the perspective that everything is filled with magic. And whatever happens in this moment, it's done, and then we go on to the next moment. It's done, and then we go on to the next moment. There is something so beautiful about that, and that is where we connect to the truest essence of our beautiful spirit, when we are able to not condemn ourselves, not feel that there is this energy that is damning us. No, there is no energy damning us. There is an energy encouraging us, guiding us, lifting us up. This world is filled with what I love. Squire Reschnell wrote in his book series, When God Winks. We are so reminded throughout the day that an energy beyond words, that again, I call God, is there with us, helping us, guiding us every step of the day.
Yes.
So beautiful.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Conversations in Consciousness. And thank you, Lisa, for being the beautiful, bright light that you are. It's always, always great to be in your presence. And thank you to all of you who joined us. And we will see you next time. Conversations in Consciousness.
Thank you all so much. Thank you so much, Annalisa.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. Namaste. I honor both of your beautiful spirits as I honor mine. Mwah.
Namaste.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Connecting You to You Radio. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Are you ready to discover more about how simple healing your body can actually be when you do it from the higher wisdom of your soul? To learn more about what I do and how you can work with me, visit connectingyoutoyou.com and get on my mailing list to be the first to know about my latest offerings. If you'd like to interact with me on Facebook, please join my group, Soul Sourced Healing. Check the show notes below for these links and more. I hope to see you again next time on Connecting You to You Radio.